Our morning exhortation will be brought to us by Brother Sam Dew, and that his title is Joseph, a Type of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Greetings from the Colleston Unamended Christadelphian Ecclesia. The subject I want to speak on this morning is Joseph, a Type of Christ, and this presentation is going to be given in a class/exhortation form. So, I want to start out, there are many types and shadows contained within Scripture. It is often said that one cannot understand the New Testament without first understanding the Old. The New Testament is contained within the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is by the New explained. The typology of the Old Testament is the picture language in which the doctrines of the New Testament are prefigured. No Bible student is competent to understand the doctrines of the New Testament who is not acquainted with the typology of the Old Testament. So what do we mean by types? The Apostle Paul gives us the answer. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So in verse 11 we're told, all these things happened to them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Of whom and of what things is the apostle speaking? Of the children of Israel, and the things that happened to them from the time of their Egyptian bondage until they reached the land of promise. So we see that while the Old Testament is a record of the history of the children of Israel, the events of that history are more than mere events. They are typical of the plan of salvation as revealed in the New Testament and were recorded for our instruction. Hebrews 10 verse 1 tells us that the types are but the shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. That is, the Old Testament types are but shadows, but there cannot be a shadow without some real thing that very shadow is pointing to. And a shadow is not the very image of the thing, for a shadow is out of proportion and is an imperfect representation of the thing it reveals. So the Old Testament types are shadows in the sense that they are not the real thing, but are pointing to the real thing that would later be revealed. And we know that most of these shadows in the Old Testament point towards Christ and God's revelation through His Son. So the purpose of this class/exhortation is to show the utmost importance of the Old Testament and encourage us all to study out more types and shadows that are found in Old Testament Scripture so that we may better understand the New Testament and God's revealed Word concerning God manifestation and God's eternal plan of salvation. There are many people in the Old Testament who were types of Christ and foreshadowed future events concerning our Lord and Savior. One person who foreshadowed Jesus the most was Joseph, the son of Jacob. So for this exhortation, I've compiled a list of similarities that we want to consider today. I'm going to go through a few of these slides before we read any verses. But both Joseph and Jesus were firstborn. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, while Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. Joseph's name means sustainer of life, while Jesus' name means Yahweh is salvation. Both of these names mean Savior. Joseph was the preserver or Savior of his family and of a remnant of people. Christ is also a preserver or Savior for those who are under covenant relationship, who are also a remnant. Both Joseph and Jesus were shepherds. We can confirm this in Genesis 37:2 for Joseph, and Matthew 2:26, Matthew 26:31, and John 10:11 for Jesus. Both were beloved of their father. Turn with me over to Genesis 37. Let's read verses 2 and 3. Genesis 37, 2 and 3. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. He was the son of his old age. Okay, now let's turn over to Matthew 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And also Matthew 12, verse 18. "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." So we said on this previous slide that Joseph was the son of Jacob's old age. Dry ground here being the metaphor of old age. So let's read these verses. Well, we just read 37:3. Let's turn over and read about Jesus, Isaiah 53:2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." So, both were considered a root out of dry ground. Both Joseph and Jesus were fully trusted. All things were laid into Joseph's trust. We can read this in Genesis 39, 4 through 8. I'll turn this scripture up. Genesis 39, 4 through 8. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of Yahweh was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand.'" So Joseph was fully trusted. Also Genesis 41, verse 39. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." God hath given all things unto Jesus' hand. Let's read John 3:35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Also Mark 1:11. Okay, this says, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So both were fully trusted. Both Joseph and Jesus were prophesied to be a ruler. Let's turn over to Genesis 37. I want to read verses 5 through 11. Genesis 37, 5 through 11. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And we're also told in the New Testament that we shall see the Son of Man on the right hand of power coming in the clouds of heaven, Matthew 26:64. And then we're told in the Old Testament, let's turn up Daniel 7, read verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Also Micah 4, verse 7. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and that was cast far off a strong nation. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And also 5 verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And also Psalms verse 2, or chapter 2, excuse me. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. So I wanted to read it in its entirety. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So we see where both were foretold that they would be a ruler. Another similarity between the two is that they were both seen as being deluded or beside themselves. They were scoffed at by those who were either jealous of them or did not understand them. So Genesis 37:19 for Joseph. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So they were kind of saying that to kind of mock him, calling him a dreamer. And also Mark 3:21 for Jesus. Mark 3:21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Continuing with this same thought of jealousy, this jealousy brought forth hate. Joseph was hated by his brethren and Jesus by the Jews. So let's read Genesis 37:4-5. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Okay, the Jews did not believe in Christ. John 7:5. John 7:5. It just says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. We're told in John 15:24-25 that they hated him. So let's turn there. John 15:24-25. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They delivered him for envy, Mark 15:10. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Both Joseph and Jesus were sent forth by their father for a purpose. So let's read these verses. Genesis 37:13-14 and 18-20. Both were sent forth by their father for a purpose. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And then also 18-20. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Also, Jesus was sent forth, Matthew 21:37-38. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And I will send my beloved son, Luke 20:13. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. Both Joseph and Jesus were sent forth by their father, and both were about their father's business. In doing so, both were rejected and condemned to die. This can relate to us too, if we as believers are about our Father's business. We too will be rejected by many around us. And we've discussed before that most worldly friends will not stay friends for very long if we are about our Father's business. If we are not doing something worldly that they want or aspire to do, they won't hang around for very long. It's very rare to find a friend in the world that will want to go to meeting with you and study Yahweh's word. So it's a blessing and a great opportunity to teach Yahweh's word if we do. So you can look these verses up. Both were rejected and condemned to die. They both conspired against Joseph and Jesus. Jesus, they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. So that's another similarity. Continuing with the next slide, just as both were rejected and condemned to die, they were also both conspired against, as we can see in Scripture. This next slide is something that I believe our lesson book back home brought out recently when we were discussing Judas that I had never realized. Both Joseph and Jesus were sold by one of the 12 named Judah, or Judas in the Greek. So I had never realized that before. I thought that was pretty interesting. In addition to this, both were sold for silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces and Jesus 30 pieces. Joseph, in his betrayal into the hands of the Ishmaelites, was a distinct type of the Redeemer betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles. The name of the betrayer was the same. In the case of Joseph, it was a brother who lifted up his heel against him. In the case of Christ, it was his own familiar friend in whom he trusted and betrayed, in whom he trusted that betrayed him. In both cases, it was covetousness, which prompted the betrayer to the dark deed of treachery. The brethren of Joseph sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites and opted not to kill him to help free themselves of their guilty conscience. They washed their hands of him and what may happen to him, or so they thought. Does this not remind us of the Jews concerning Jesus, who said, let not our hand be upon him, when Pilate said to them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. What did they say? They said, oh no, let not our hand be upon him. Do you crucify him? Yes, crucify him by all means. But as for us, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Just as Jesus was stripped of his clothing right before he was crucified, Joseph also, as a type in the Old Testament, was stripped of his garments. In this type, Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brethren. Jesus was also put in the pit, or the grave of the earth, for 3 days and 3 nights by the Jews who had crucified him, or had him crucified. So that's an interesting type there within itself. Both Joseph and Jesus were raised from the pit. So how do the last three slides relate to us? Just as Joseph and Jesus were stripped of their garments, we must be stripped of Adamic condemnation. We must be baptized, go completely under the water, which signifies going down into the pit. And then we must come out from the waters of baptism by being raised up or raised from the pit. Both Joseph and Jesus were rewarded once they were risen out of the pit. Joseph eventually by Pharaoh as he ascended to power in Egypt, and Jesus by God who ascended into heaven until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And if we're found worthy at the judgment seat, we will be rewarded as well. Both Joseph and Jesus took the form of a servant. Joseph was a servant before he rose to power in Egypt. And Jesus was the servant of God during his first coming. He will rise to power as our future king in his second coming. We too must take the form of a servant in our daily walk. We must prove worthy to Yahweh if we are to be rewarded on judgment day. We must endure suffering as the form of a servant first, just as Joseph and Jesus did. Then comes salvation. was suffering before salvation. The next slide. We are told that everything Joseph and Jesus did prospered. So let's read Genesis 39, verse 3. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Jesus, Isaiah 53:10. Let's read this scripture. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Both were tempted, yet without sin. Now we know that Christ was the only person that never had personal sin. So when I'm speaking of Joseph here, it's a particular situation. So let's read these verses. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, verses 7 through 12. I think we touched on this a little earlier. Genesis 39, verses 7 through 12. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master, what if not what is with me in the house? And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So he got away. She was trying to tempt him, and he refused to be led away by her temptation of sin. Jesus, we know, in all was made like unto his brethren, in all points tempted just like we are, but was without personal sin. Let's turn over to Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We see here that both were falsely accused. The Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Genesis 39, 17 and 18 for Joseph. Let's read this. Genesis 39, 17 and 18. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. So she falsely accused him. And Jesus, Matthew 26, 59 through 62. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnessed against thee? And there were two false witnesses there. Joseph and Jesus were both bound. We can read this in Genesis 39:20 and Matthew 27, verse 2 for Jesus. Now, this is interesting. Both were condemned with two criminals. So let's read these verses here. Joseph, first Joseph, Genesis 40, verse 2 and 3. Genesis 40, verse 2 and 3. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And we know that Jesus was crucified with two criminals. Let's read this in Luke 23, 32 and 33. Luke 23:32-33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. In both instances they were bound with two criminals. One criminal was condemned and the other criminal was delivered. So we know that, well, let's start with Joseph. Genesis 40, verse 13. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. And 21 and 22. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Okay, and let's turn over to Luke 23, verse 43, for Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now we know that it wasn't that very day. He was telling him on that day that one day he would be in the kingdom with him in paradise. So one would be saved. It is truly remarkable in this study how closely related the type of Joseph is in the Old Testament to that of Jesus in the New Testament. Both Joseph and Jesus could prophesy and foretell the future accurately. So we can read this about Joseph in Genesis 41:13, where he interpreted things that came to pass, and Jesus in John 13, verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Both were proved to be a great counselor. Joseph, for as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. I believe we read that scripture earlier. And we're told in Isaiah 9:6, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And this refers to Jesus. Both were promoted to honor and glory and given a new name. So let's read Joseph, Genesis 41, 41 and 45. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. In verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, and this is a hard one to say, Zaphnath-Paneh. And he gave him to wife. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. All right, Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That, of course, is referring to Jesus. All people commanded to bow to him, Joseph, and they cried before him and bowed the knee. Let's read these two, Genesis 41, 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And also Genesis 42, 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And let's read Philippians 2, verse 10 for Jesus. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I'm going to read verse 11 as well. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Both provided for all in need. All the countries came to Joseph to buy grain. We can read this in Genesis 41, verse 57. John 6:35, for Jesus, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Neither Joseph nor Jesus were recognized. Joseph was not recognized by his brethren, and Jesus was not recognized by the Jews as their Savior, and he's still not to this day. So Genesis 42, verse 8, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. John 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Revelation 5, 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So the Jews did not recognize their Messiah. He came as a lamb the first time, not a lion. Have I been such a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? We can read this in John 14, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Just as Joseph's brethren were troubled when he was finally revealed, likewise the Jews will mourn when Christ reveals himself to them in the last days. Just as Joseph let his brothers suffer and sweat for a bit before revealing himself, Christ will do likewise with the Jews. We are told in Zechariah 14, verses 1 and 2, that all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to do battle. These events are necessary in order to cleanse the nation. In Jeremiah 30, verses 7 through 9, the prophet is stated as follows. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Well, this was interesting here because I had never, I guess, realized this one, but Joseph was 30 years old when he started working for Pharaoh and began his journey throughout Egypt. Jesus, likewise, was 30 years old when we are told the Holy Spirit descended upon him and he began his ministry throughout the land. We can find that in Genesis 41, verse 46 for Joseph, and Luke 3, verses 22 and 23 for Jesus. A common theme throughout the Bible is suffering before salvation. Both Joseph and Jesus had to suffer first before salvation came. And in each case, it was salvation for themselves as well as the people. We too must suffer and sacrifice daily in our walk to put off the flesh and put on the mind of Christ, so that in the end, we too may find salvation. Both were made to rule. Joseph was made ruler over all of Egypt. Genesis 41, 42 through 44. Jesus will be our future king and will rule over the whole earth at his second coming. And this here is an interesting type. Joseph married a foreign bride who shared his glory. Let's read this, Genesis 41, verse 45. Genesis 41, 45. Actually, I read this one earlier. It's where Pharaoh gave Well, it says, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So he married a foreign bride. Those who are baptized into the truth become joint heirs according to the promises. Gentiles who become adopted Jews. So let's read Romans 8, verse 17. This is one of the best chapters in the Bible, Romans 8. One of my favorites. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Just as Joseph forgave his brethren, Jesus will forgive the Jews when they realize who he is and mourn. God will also forgive us if we pray through Jesus and repent daily and strive hard not to make the same mistakes. In conclusion, there are many types and shadows in the Old Testament that point to Christ and God's plan of salvation. There are some types and shadows that I knew existed in the story of Joseph that pointed to Christ, and there are some types that I previously did not know existed. So I hope that I brought some of those out in this presentation. There are also a lot of spiritual lessons that we can take from this study. There are lessons in pleasing our Heavenly Father, brotherly love, baptism, forgiveness, repentance, suffering, being a servant, resisting temptation, deliverance, and salvation. In closing, before we go into memorial service, I would like to read Genesis 45, verse 7. Now, this is a really interesting verse. This is Joseph speaking. But if you did not know that and just heard the verse, it would sound like Jesus speaking to us. It points towards Jesus and God's plan of salvation through him. Genesis 45, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Thank you.